This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
I want to invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And as you're opening your Bible, let's have a little fun here. We want to see who the greatest is, okay? So the greatest. So there's an image coming up on the screen, and we'll just take a quick survey on who you think the greatest is. Do you see this? You got hammering Hank Aaron, and you got Babe Ruth, all right? So if you think Babe Ruth is the greatest home run hitter of all time, lift your hand, lift it proud, don't be ashamed, Babe Ruth. Look at you guys. You never saw him swing the bat. You don't have a clue, right? If you think Hank Aaron, there's videos everywhere of Hank Aaron, hammering Hank Aaron. If you think he was the greatest home run hitter of all time, all right? It's kind of unfair, right? Because it's like we're kind of in Braves territory. Braves are like one of the closest, you know. So, all right, let me see that again. Babe Ruth. All right. Hank Aaron. All right, we're like right down the middle. All right, next image. Who's the greatest? All right, a couple weeks ago, we actually had an Elvis impersonator. You guys, he's like one of the most like world famous Elvis impersonators. It's crazy. So you got Michael Jackson and you got the King. So Michael Jackson, everybody thinks Michael Jackson greatest. Look at this. Wow. It's like, what is it, like Thriller or what? I mean, like we grew up some 80s kids. No, the King, Elvis. Split right down the middle again. I see you old people in the back row. I see you. All right, one more. Let's see what we got here. Oh yeah. Now some of you are already upset that Kobe's not on there, right? I almost put him on there, but I thought, nah, not even close. All right. LeBron. All of you think LeBron? Oh my goodness, look at this. The next generation. I see it. They're like, who's that other guy, Mom? Who's that other guy? Just breaks our heart, doesn't it? All right. Michael Jordan. That one's not debatable, is it? It's so interesting. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus talks about the greatest human being that ever walked the planet. Isn't that crazy that Jesus would just declare somebody the greatest human being? You know, I mean, like, we don't have a problem saying greatest home run hitter, greatest singer, right, greatest basketball player, like, but Jesus just throws it right out as the greatest human being ever. So I want you to see this with me. You may be thinking, is it Moses? Is it Abraham? Like, who is it? Well, look with me in Luke chapter 7. We'll pick it up in verse 18. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. I'm titling this morning's message, The Dilemma of Doubt. So let's dig in and see where that comes from. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. What are all these things? So just pause there to get the context. Well, last week we saw that Jesus had just raised the son, the son that had died, who the only son of a widow in a town called Nain. He was performing all kinds of other miracles, and so now this is reported to John, also known as John the Baptist, and John is in prison. So let's read on verse 19. The disciples, verse 18, the disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? It will just give you context here. John was a man called by God to be a prophet, crying out in the wilderness. He was dressed in camel skins and ate locusts and honey, and he had a robust ministry. We'll speak to that in just a moment. And so now he's talking to these people about how they reacted to John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang dirge for you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. And you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. That's a big chunk of scripture. Why don't we pray and ask for God's help to understand it and apply it? Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name and by your Spirit, we pray, open our eyes to see and understand your word. Lord, grant us the grace, Lord, to apply it to our heart and to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The dilemma of doubt. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you picked it up. I don't know if it was obvious to you or not. But what we see right out of the gate here is that the strongest Christians can struggle with doubt. I hope that immediately this morning that'll be an encouragement to you. The strongest Christians can struggle with doubt. Jesus declared John to be the greatest person ever born of a woman. Now, he's saying John was the greatest man. So some of you are going, wait a second. Jesus said John the greatest man. I thought Jesus was the greatest man. What's going on here? Jesus was the God-man. Jesus was both 100% man and 100% God. So John is the greatest man. Jesus is saying John's the greatest man. What made him so great? Well, if you follow and you trace through the story, we see that John, before he was born, and this is amazing, before he was born, he had the Holy Spirit on him. That just kind of blows up some of our, like, all of our theology, right? All of us that like to, you know, have, like, our theology, like, all in the perfect little box, you know, systematized, like, perfectly, you know. Well, no, the Spirit comes upon you, you know, like, regenerates your heart and brings you to faith. But here in the womb, John had the Spirit upon him. Amazing. He had the Spirit upon him. He was chosen by God as a prophet. But he wasn't just like any prophet. He was the final prophet. John was the final prophet preparing the way for Jesus. He was the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the path. The Messiah is coming. When Jesus comes onto the scene, John is the one that cries out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is who John was. And if that wasn't enough, the Spirit upon you, the paving the way for Jesus, if that wasn't enough, John baptized Jesus. How do you like that for a spiritual resume? You know what I mean? Like if you're like just shopping yourself out, you know, like to a church and you baptize the Son of God. That's pretty strong, wouldn't you say? John was like Christian on steroids. He was just like incredible, incredible prophet of God, chosen by God, set apart for the purpose of God. Before he was born, the hand of God was on him. So Jesus rightly says, nobody's greater than John. And here he is in jail, and he's struggling with his faith. He's struggling with his faith. You say, what do you mean he's struggling with his faith? Well, he's in jail, and he's got to send his disciples to Jesus and say, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the promised one? Are you the Messiah? Rewind, John, with everything that he had, has already declared this truth. He's already preached the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the King, the Messiah, he's the one we've been longing for. Israel, your Messiah is here. That's what John has declared. And now he's in prison. And now he's like, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one? There's some Christian circles and there's some church circles where like doubt is like the greatest enemy and evil, and people are not encouraged to speak about their doubt. Rather, they're condemned when they doubt. They're squashed when they doubt. They're ridiculed when they're spoken down to when they doubt. Like people are like, how can you doubt? You know, like no, there's no room for that here. And yet here is the greatest human being, according to Jesus, that ever lived on the planet, and he's doubting. Would you just let that truth and reality seep into your mind and heart right now? Many of you would say, you know what, I can totally relate to John. Some of you this morning, you would say, you know, maybe I grew up in the church, maybe I came to Christ in an early age, maybe I was so on fire for the Lord in my youth group days, or when I was in college, that's when I really got saved, and I was digging into Bible study, and I was reading God's word every day. I was so committed, I was so devoted, I was so loyal, I never missed a Sunday, I was all in for Jesus. But as this began to happen, as I began to grow, and as I began to experience betrayal, and as I began to experience pain in life, and as I began to experience some of the harsh realities of life, that began to change a little bit. Maybe you were like John, where you had like an incredible start in your spiritual journey, but life has brought you to this place to where now you just feel like, I'm not as confident as I used to be. And I really struggle with doubt. I can totally understand what John is saying. Or maybe you find yourself in a similar place with John, in that it's not that you started off really strong, but rather you, like John, find yourself in this place with circumstances that cause you to doubt the goodness of God. Here's John in prison for what? His obedience and faithfulness to God. So John was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, and he gets thrown in jail. Have you ever felt that way? God, I'm trying to live for you. God, I'm like actually reading my Bible for the first time in a long time, God. Like, God, I'm getting the church, I'm getting the family up and getting them to church. And yet things in my job right now stink. My boss is at my throat like every week. Or God, like for the first time, we're actually giving. We're not tithing yet, but we're trying to move toward 10%, but we're giving, and we haven't given in years. And yet, Lord, our finances feel like they're still in shambles. You ever feel that way? And John, here he is in jail for obeying Jesus, obeying the Father, and he's in jail. And what rises up in his heart is doubt. Is doubt. This text contrasts doubting God with rejecting God. I want you to see this so that we understand what we're talking about here. Look at verse 28 with me. Chapter 7, verse 28. Jesus says, I tell you, among those born of woman, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I love that. Let me just pause there and explain that. John was like this transitional prophet. He was like the last prophet to speak and to prepare the way of the Messiah coming. He's like this hinge, if you will. And essentially, Jesus is saying, there's nobody greater than John, but I'm just beginning my work. Like, John's the last prophet, but my work's not done. My work's really just beginning. In other words, he says, everyone, look at this again, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, greater than John. So for us who are in the kingdom of God, because we've turned from our sin and turned to Jesus and received him as King, we don't have the Holy Spirit on us, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he never leaves. God said, I'm going to do something so radical, so special, so transformative. I want to be closer to you than your very skin. So I'm going to put my spirit inside you to live in you, to be your best friend, to comfort you when you're sad and to convict you when you're sinning. My spirit inside you. And you're going to do wondrous things through the power of my resurrection, through the spirit. That's what that means, is that he's declaring John's the greatest, but we're going to be greater than John because we've got the spirit living in us. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus. Verse 29, look at this. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. So Jesus is explaining things, and some believe. But then look on, verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. What did they do? They rejected. They saw Jesus, they saw his miracles, they heard his preaching, they rejected him. John's in jail, and John's struggling with his faith. John's doubting. But the Pharisees aren't doubting, they're what? Rejecting. Luke is writing in great detail to help us to understand there's a big difference between struggling with your faith and having doubt and rejecting Jesus. Big difference between doubting and rejecting. And he goes on, and Jesus is like really harsh here. Look at verse 31. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? So there were a bunch of people rejecting Jesus. What shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children. They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang dirge for you and you did not weep. Jesus is kind of like doubling down on them. And he's saying, everything that you need to see me as the Messiah, it's right before your eyes. It's the fulfillment of prophecy is here. And you're acting like children, just rejecting it because it's not unrolling the way you want it to unroll. It's not exactly like you imagined it. And you're just crying for your own way rather than receiving God's way. Verse 33, for John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. And you say he has a demon. And yet the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In other words, you're rejecting everything from God. You're rejecting it all. And then kind of that prophetic nail in the coffin, verse 35, he says, yet wisdom is justified by all her children. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is that in the final day, it's going to be revealed who the wise people were. Those that followed Jesus, those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be obvious. There's not going to be any debate about it. But this is what I love most about this whole text. And this is like, if you carry anything away this morning, this is what I want you to carry away, because this is just stunningly amazing. Jesus was gracious to John in his doubts. We're not even gracious to one another as we doubt. And Jesus was gracious to John in his doubts. He rebukes those that are just hard-hearted, rejecting him. He rebukes them. But here's John, amazing spiritual start. Preach the gospel, right? Let me give you a scenario. How many times have you been let down by a preacher who starts off really strong but doesn't finish well? I can give you a list about 20 guys that have disappointed me and disillusioned me and angered me and frustrated me. And I'm like, come on, hypocrite. You preach it and don't practice it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you're like, yeah, I'm watching you, Pastor. I'm kind of withholding judgment until I see a little more up close. And so here's John, baptized Jesus. And he's in jail, and he sends people to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one? And what does Jesus do? He doesn't scold him. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't ridicule him. He doesn't put him down for his lack of faith. He doesn't critique his doubt. What does he do? Jesus reinforces his faith with evidence. In other words, John is wanting to believe, but he's struggling. John is wanting to have faith, but he's saying, Jesus, help me. Help me believe. And when we say that to Jesus, Jesus steps in. What did Jesus do? Look back with me in verse 21. Look at verse 21 with me. John's messengers get to Jesus. Are you the one? Or shall we look for another? Verse 21. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases. So pause. Here's the question. Are you the one? Healed. In plagues, healed. And evil spirits, cast out. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. Healed. And he answered them, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. What does that mean? Keep believing, John. Keep believing, Jesus said. You're blessed. You're going to be happy if you're not offended by me, John. Keep believing. Keep believing, John. Some of you this morning, life has dealt you a really tough blow. You look for evidences of God's goodness in your life, and they are hard to see. You just don't know where to find them. And you feel like you're on the brink of just tottering back and forth of doubt and faith and doubt and faith and doubt and doubt and faith. What does Jesus think about you? He's gracious to those that doubt. He's gracious. I want to turn over to the book of Jude and see if I can find this. Look at Jude. You're like, what chapter, Jude? It's just one chapter. It's like right before Revelation. Turn to the end of your Bible. Look at Jude. Jude chapter 1. Second to the last book of the Bible. Jude chapter 1 verse 22. Look at this. If you found it, just hold your Bible up. Let me see you. You got it? You got it? Okay. Jude writes, and have mercy on those who, what? Doubt. Why does Jude write, have mercy on those who doubt? Because Jesus had mercy on those who doubt. Maybe it's your spouse, and you're so frustrated that they just won't believe God better. They just won't trust God better. They just won't be as passionate about God as you want them to be. And maybe it's just because they have some questions or life has been really hard and it's difficult to see the goodness of God with how hard life has been. And have mercy on those who doubt. Have mercy on them. Be patient. Be gracious. Don't ridicule. Don't demand. Let me just give you five real helpful things you can do if you're doubting. Maybe you're the one doubting. The first thing, relax. Just relax. If you're doubting, just chill out. If you're doubting, don't get so worked up about your own doubts. It's not the end of the world. Why? Paul writes it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus is not scared of your doubt. And your doubt is not going to derail your salvation. Listen, your salvation is not rooted in how tightly you hold on to Jesus. It's rooted in how tightly Jesus holds on to you, and he's not letting go. So just relax. Just, if you're doubting, relax. And then tell Jesus. Do exactly what John did. Tell Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I felt you until about 8 years ago. And I have not felt you in 8 years. And just tell him. And say, Jesus, I want to believe, but I'm struggling. Just tell Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is going to respond to you the same way he responds to John. He's going to be gracious with your doubts. And he's going to strengthen your faith. If you speak to Jesus about it, he's going to lean in and he's going to strengthen your faith. But if in your doubt you run away from Jesus and you just close the door to Jesus and you don't talk to Jesus about it, you're probably not going to have the help of Jesus. So talk to Jesus about it. You're like, you just told me Jesus is hanging on to me. Which one is it? These beautiful divine tensions, right? Third, feed your faith by reading God's word and listening to solid biblical preaching. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message of Christ. So how do we strengthen our faith? We listen to God's word. Listen, that's why it's dangerous to treat Sunday morning casually and not be committed to it. Because when you just do whatever you want to do on Sunday morning and you don't put your soul under the preached word of God, your faith begins to falter. But when you listen to God's word preached, Paul writes, faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. So when you hear it, it strengthens your faith. So feed your faith by reading God's word and listening to solid biblical preaching. I had a guy call me the other day. He said, hey, I mentioned the other day, this guy called me and I was listening to this particular preacher. If I said his name, you would know who he is, real famous guy, you know. And I told him I was listening to this guy and he just kind of horse laughed me. He's like, oh man, don't listen to the guy. And he said, so I'm calling you and I want to know, what do you think about this guy? And I said, I wouldn't let my family listen to him because I love them. In other words, he's not faithfully preaching God's word. So Jesus said, watch out. There'll be all kinds of preachers and teachers that don't faithfully preach God's word. So you can't just listen to any preacher and think that it's going to strengthen your faith. You've got to listen to preachers that are opening up God's word and explaining it accurately and clearly. And you pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you faithfully, and he will. Or you call trusted leaders and you say, hey, how about this guy? Okay, your family's not listening to him, neither is mine, right? But feed your faith. Feed your own faith by reading God's word and listening to solid biblical preaching. And don't think that just like one sermon and one reading of God's word is just going to turn all your doubts around. Persevere. Endure. And then I love this. Ask for people to pray for you and with you. I say and with you because like Christianese jargon, right? Like it's like, I'll pray for you. Like, quit lying to people, you know what I mean? Like, how many times have I told people I'm praying for them? I just stopped doing that, and I just pray for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have found myself, like, going, oh, my goodness, I told three people that I would pray for them, and I don't know who it is. If I ever tell you I'm going to pray for you, say, now, please, because you're going to forget. So I ask people to pray for you, but ask them to pray with you. And this is the beauty of community groups, right? Community groups launch this week. Hello, it's going to be so great. Listen, but here's where you come in to a group of people and say, you guys, God feels so distant to me. You guys, I've got so many questions. You guys, I'm reading the Old Testament for the first time, and it's like not reinforcing my faith. I've got bigger questions than I've ever had. Pray for me. And two things happen. One, God hears our prayers and he answers them. But two, when we pray, we're we're recognizing the presence of God. And God, when we pray together, often manifests his presence, where it's the presence of God that strengthens our faith as we pray. You know, sometimes people, they don't have the strength and the faith to pray on their own. And so we've got to lean in and we've got to usher them to the throne of grace and pray for them. But in doing that, they walk with us to God in prayer and they experience the presence of God. When had we not prayed with them, they wouldn't have experienced his presence in that way that day. Do you see it? That's why we do community groups. Why? Because we're not designed to live life alone. And we're fickle people that doubt God and we need people to help us believe him. And then finally, fight for faith through repentance and research. Our worship team's going to come here in just a minute and help us respond, but this last little point, fight for faith through repentance and research. The big danger when you're doubting is that you'll just launch into a season like headfirst into sin. You're doubting, God's not met your expectations. It's not turning out the way you thought it would turn out, right? And so you're just like, forget it. I'm going to do my own thing for at least a week, at least a day, at least this Friday night. I'm going to do my own thing. Head first, dive into sin. Listen, be careful. Because if you're doubting, sin is not going to strengthen your faith. It's going to reinforce your doubt. Sin's going to bring darkness to your heart and to your mind, and it's going to confuse you, and it's going to blur your spiritual faculties. Sin does it every time. So fight for faith through repentance, through holiness, through obedience, and then research. So identify what your beefs are. Identify what your questions are. Write them down, and then go to your community group leader and say, hey, can you help me find a resource that would speak to this issue? Like, I get all this other stuff, but I'm really hung up on this. And I can't get resolved. So research. In other words, don't just wallow in your doubt. Don't just wallow in it. Research it. Do what John did. Jesus, show me something. Can you imagine how humbling it must have been for John to have to send his disciples to Jesus? Can you imagine how humbling it must have been for him to do that? He's like super Christian. Baptized Jesus. Saw the dove from heaven falling upon Jesus. Heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. I mean, all John had to do was close his eyes and think about that day when the voice from heaven erupts. This is my son. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm fine. My doubt's gone. It's like John had more like history with God to draw upon than anybody. God, I saw you do this, and God, I saw you do this, and God, I saw you do this. Man, it had to be humbling, right? So don't wallow in your doubt, but humble yourself and get serious about researching. Get determined about answering the hard questions. The best questions have the best answers. So this would be the proverbial moment where we put a picture of John and Jesus up here. Who's greater? I mean, Jesus said John was the greatest, right? I kind of already told you this. You guys already know, right? Jesus is greater. John said it this way. He said, I'm unworthy to bend down and unbuckle Jesus' sandals. That's what John said about Jesus. Listen, Jesus is worthy of your worship today. He's worthy of your trust today. He's worthy of your obedience today. And if you're doubting, he's gracious. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so patient with us. Oh, God, thank you for being so patient with us. Lord, we love you today, but we don't love you like we ought. And Lord, we trust you today, but we cry out, help our unbelief, Lord. And thank you, God, that our salvation is not rooted in how tightly we're holding on to you, but that we can relax today because our salvation is rooted in how tightly you're holding on to us. Thank you that you never let go. Father, this is a challenging time in our world today. It seems like that there's just an opportunity to be anxious at every corner that we're turning. And we pray, Lord, as we sing this next song, we pray that as we sing this next song, Lord, you would strengthen us, strengthen our faith, give us peace, give us a calm. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Saints, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing to our God.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.